I just want to pose one question to you tonight. It's a question that I think is so foundational for our lives, a question that Jesus himself poses in the scriptures. Mark chapter 8, he turns to Peter and he says to him, "Peter, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am?" I extend that question to you tonight. I'm wondering who you say in your heart who Jesus is. I believe this has the capacity to set the trajectory of our life. And to frame this just maybe a slightly a different way, I would ask this question: what picture comes to mind when you think about God? What picture comes to mind when you think about God? The great spiritual writer A.W. Tozer once said, "What comes to your mind when you think about God is one of the most important things about you. It affects your life. If you have an image of God as one who is angry and judgmental, as many people do, a picture of a God who is keeping score, you will likely live a life marked by fear. Perhaps living a life at a feverish pace, trying to prove your worth and your worthiness. If you have an image of God who is not particularly good or trustworthy, it will be unlikely that you will offer your life in worship and service to that God. If you have an image of a God who promises you health and wealth, if you just have enough faith and say the right words, you will likely feel disappointed, insecure, frustrated when you inevitably face the pain of navigating a world marked by sin and by brokenness. What comes into our mind when we think about God is one of the most important things about us. And the problem is, friends, is that there are so many things that distort and twist the picture we have about God. There's no shortage of bad theology, of negative caricatures of God in our cultural narratives, and of Christians who have not lived up to or represented God well. There's a certain inevitability that our picture of God will not fully reflect who God is. In our limits as human beings, we put God in our boxes. We have too small of an image of God. We frame him through our fears, our agendas, our perspectives. And so my challenge to us this Christmas is that we might let Jesus repaint that picture for us. Perhaps heal that image of God, expand the image and picture of who God is. During this Advent series, we've been seeking to do just that, to look at all these different names of who this Messiah is, with the goal of expanding our vision, allowing Jesus to be who he really is. There's a quote that I offered at the beginning of our journey, which I want to lift up for us today, and it's a challenge I extend again to you tonight. And this is a quote from Bill Robinson where he says this: "Let Jesus be Jesus. If you decide not to follow him, let it be the real Jesus you decide not to follow, not the picture painted by human lives that fall short of Christ's example. And if you do decide to follow Jesus, let it be the real Jesus you follow, not the Jesus you manufacture to accommodate your tastes. And if you decide to follow him, pour out your most precious gifts at his feet. But whatever you do, let Jesus be Jesus." And so, friends, I just want to offer a couple thoughts about how this story of the birth of Christ has the capacity to expand, heal, redraw our picture of God. How do we heal our image of God? And there's a couple parts to this, a couple steps to this process. I think, friends, it begins by coming in humility, acknowledging that God is so much more than we can imagine. Jesus says that if you want to see the kingdom of God, you must enter like a child, to give up the adult pretensions that we have God figured out, to leave room for wonder and mystery, acknowledging that we have more to learn, more to know. There's more growth needed for us. Can we come in humbly this Christmas, open to a God who is so much bigger than we have named him? A healthy image of God leaves room for wonder and mystery. But the good news of the Christmas story is that we are not left completely without any guidance or image or signpost of who God is. That is the gift of the incarnation. God stepped into this world to explain God to us. that we can get a glimpse of God. And so if we want to have a healthier, more beautiful image of God, let us look to Jesus. It says in John 1 that the Word became flesh, made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word became flesh so that we could see the glory of God. Paul says this in Colossians 2, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. One writer says that God is Christ-like, and in him there is no un-Christ-likeness at all. Perhaps this Christmas, as we reflect on this story, a familiar story, God might open new horizons for us, expand our image of a beautiful God who has come to show us a more perfect picture of God. And so I just offer you a couple of thoughts about what the Christmas story tells us about God. I think, first of all, we see in this Christmas story that the God that we worship tonight is not a distant and disengaged God, not a God who wound this world up like a clock and left it to run its course. No, we worship Emmanuel, God with us. A God who stepped into this world, who took the risk of stepping into the pain and the brokenness to come to us. A God who wants to relate to us. This is such a beautiful image. It reminded me of a story from a few years ago where I was hiking, climbing Mount St. Helens with some friends down in Longview. And as we were coming down from the summit, the second group was still above us. And this windstorm blew in with 60-mile-an-hour winds. And it was a dust bowl. And the three or four people that were above us were completely stranded and lost. They couldn't even see their hand. The visibility was gone. They were worried they might step off the cliff into the crater. They just had to sit and wait and hope that there was going to be an end to the storm. Well, there was an experienced climber who had climbed this mountain hundreds of times. He told us this was the worst he'd ever seen the weather in the summer on Mount St. Helens. And he heard that there were people up above us, and so he climbed up to find them. He found them just sitting there in fear, not able to walk very far. And because of his presence and his expertise, he was able to be with them, help them navigate away from the chaos to a place of safety. And I just thought of this image of a God who steps in. He makes that choice to step in to risk and chaos, to meet us in those places where we are struggling to see, where we are lost, where we are struggling to navigate life. And he comes to us to be Emmanuel, God with us. It doesn't mean the storms cease right away or we don't face hardship, but we do have a God who has come to rescue, to walk with, and to guide us. Emmanuel, God with us. The Christmas story tells us about a God who cares for those on the margins, those who are weak, those who have been excluded, those who have been told there is no room for them in this world. I shared that with the kids. He welcomes the shepherds who were told that they did not belong, who welcomes those from afar and says, "You're part of this story." We have a beautiful image of a God who welcomes and cares for the least of these. We have a God who empathizes with us in our weakness. As we call upon God, we call upon one who knows what it's like to suffer and to be tempted and to struggle and to face all the pain of this world. We have a God who spent his first year on the run as a refugee fleeing from King Herod. A God who experienced rejection. A God who experienced pain. The writer of Hebrews says that we can call upon that God, for we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Lastly, I just share with you that we have a God who has gone to great lengths to be our Savior. The angels come with good news of a Savior born for us. That this birth story is on a collision course with the crucifixion story, a God who went to such depth to show us his love, to offer us forgiveness, to free us from the sin that so easily entangles, that we might live a life of freedom, of shalom, of wholeness. May that begin to shape your picture and your image of God. this Christmas, friends, let's let Jesus be Jesus. If you say no to Jesus, just make sure it is the real Jesus you are rejecting, not the picture that so often comes up short. And if you have said, I follow Jesus, let's make sure it is the real Jesus we follow, not the one that we put in a box, that we limit, that we frame through our ideas and our agendas. Whatever or wherever we are at, let's let Jesus be Jesus. And so, friends, I just want you now to be the conclusion to this message. I leave the good news with you, and I pray that the Spirit would be at work in your hearts, leading you into those next steps that you need to take. I simply proclaim to you that I bring good news of great joy that will be for the people, including you. Today, in the town of Bethlehem, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Perhaps for some of us, the call is to, like these shepherds now, go in search of this, to seek more deeply answers to who this Messiah is. I believe that this good news has come to you, come to us tonight. May we receive and make room for Christ in our homes, in our hearts tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in a word of prayer? God, I thank you for your patience with us. I just think of how you stepped into the confines of humanity with such grace and such love. You came to us in our need and in our struggles, Lord. I pray that we would make room for you tonight, that we would accept you on your terms, that we would see you more clearly, more fully. Lord, we pray this in your name. Amen.